5, verse 13. Picture our Lord sitting there looking. He all of his parables, and when he spoke, he always had something in mind that the people could relate to. So as he talks to him, he says, "You are the salt of the earth." He says, that's election there, if you think about it. From the earth, you were brought out. That's like salt. He said, you're just like the salt that's brought out of the earth. You come from the earth, you're separated from the earth, and you're made useful. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, the salt loses its power, it's still salt. But is that what you want to be, just salt? If the salt, and he may have been talking distinctly to the 12 here. But if the salt has lost its power, its distinctness, its ability to do good, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Keep you from slipping in the mud. That's what he's talking about. Slipping on the ice. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. This title, this light, I found this and it sort of gave some clarity on what the Lord was doing. Like I said, he always had a lesson. He always looked about, and there was a reason for everything he said. But I didn't know this light. Titles were given to the rabbis in our Lord's day as lamps of the universe. That's the way they looked at rabbis, lamps of the universe, or lights of the world, they were referred to. But here Jesus, our Lord, declares to these weathered, life tough, working class men and women. He said, no, they're not. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You're the light. And I'm sure that aggravated that group of rabbis and Pharisees and all that were there listening to criticize. He got to it right away, didn't he? Right at the outset. Well, new converts, not those studied, is what he's saying. And that's the way it is with us. Not the ones that knew. These folks knew nothing. Remember, just a few verses prior, light suddenly appeared in darkness. Remember, they knew nothing. They didn't know anything. They had sat in darkness for who knows how long, their whole lives. But Christ's light in them made them carriers of light. That's what he says. Our Lord says, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth in me, should not, no longer, anymore, walk in darkness. I like this one. This is one of my favorites. Psalm 119, verse 130 says this, the entrance, the manifestation of the Word, that's incarnate and inspired, I think. The manifestation of the Word is so true. The manifestation of the Word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. You don't know anything. You may think you know. You may know religion, but you know anything till the light comes on. You don't know anything. Don't understand anything till the light comes on. Then when the light comes on, you'll say, I didn't understand anything. I thought I understood this, but that was just religion. I didn't understand Christ. I didn't understand God. I didn't understand truth till the light came on. So here on this mountain, our Lord says, you're the light. Folks, you're the light. You're the light. You're my light. My light in you is going to light the world. My light. He says, you're my appointed lighthouses. two or three things about light. Light is not our own light. Light is independent of the holder. I just take a candle. That light don't come from you. That light's independent of you. You're just holding the light, aren't you? You're as pretty as some women are, their face don't glow in the dark and light the room up. Light is independent of the holder always. And the same applies to spiritual things. As you go through these two chapters, it's not what we do that motivates the things in this chapter. It's what's been done. And as we learn more of the light, it brightens. That's true, isn't it? As we learn more about Christ, doesn't it brighten? Our knowledge brightens. Our countenance brightens. People around us see that we're brightened. Why is that? We learn more of where we were, where we came from, who got us there. And we desire to learn more. And we desire to learn more. And we desire to learn more. And it just continues to brighten. Knowledge. And remember this third thing. Men see light in our character before they ever discover what we know. Always remember that. Men will see light in your character before they know what you know about our Lord. I think that's probably one of the most important things for a believer. Right. You, my disciple, you believers, you men and women of the working class, whose lives, whose character, whose testimony of light, of me, I'm the light, your testimony of me in your shops, in your workplaces, in your homes, even if it's just with your kids, you're the light. You're my light because you'll speak of me. Your circle, in your circle, wherever your circle is, I don't know where your circle is. Steve has a circle. Tony has a circle. Well, circles, don't we? People, some interact, some cross, and we know people in these circles, but there's a lot of your circle, I don't know, but in your circle, you're light. And you may be the only light. You're the true light of the world. True light. Think about the responsibility, the true light of Christ. You're it. It's not the person, even though the Lord uses, it's not the person who may preach to hundreds every Sunday. It's not the person who writes volume after volume of book and commentary, even though he uses them. We use them, don't we? But you are the light, you're the light, you're the light, you're the light, you're the light. You're the light, you're the light every day. If Christ is in you, you're the light. That light reveals the dark. Always remember, the light in you, Christ's light, reveals the darkness around us. Men love darkness, so they despise us. And I know it's easy for us to say, no, they just despise what we believe. No, they despise you. They despise you. And that's all right. That's what he says in verse 11. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake. For my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which came long before you did. No, they don't like you either. They don't like Christ. They don't like you. Get used to it. Amber started putting these. I'll tell you an example. Amber started putting this, me, on sermon audio. And I didn't know that she was. I just started running into people. And it was like I had a disease when I'd walk away. World. They used to stand and talk to me for ages. What did I do? Honestly, I said, what did I do to somebody? What did I do to so-and-so? I'd drive away thinking, how'd I offend them? Because I can do it. And then I'd find out. And that's what it was. So it happens. It happens, folks. If your light shines, the brighter that light shines, the more darkness is going to reveal. So then you begin, don't you? You begin to understand why you're... I went last week to a thing. Let me give you another example. If, you know, he said it for years, and you know, if you start listening or looking around, you'll see it. Went to a place to a church, and this place you used to had preached before. I had a friend that pastored it, and I told the guy about it, and his response was really. And I thought, I want to say, because, you know, the guy I thought liked me. And I thought, that wouldn't have been the way I responded. I would have said, really? How about that? So I called the guy's name that you knew. And he said, really? Yeah, I know him. And I thought, and then it hit me. I said, he knows. He knows what we believe. He knows what we believe. It's what it was. So the brighter the light, the more darkness. So we start to understand these things, and it doesn't bother you as much anymore when somebody says, oh, that's where you go, or oh, this, oh. You understand that, don't you? We're opposed. We're highly misrepresented. Highly. We have never preached babies into hell, have we? We're highly misrepresented. But we are. We're censored. We're judges, yet we don't say a word. This is the nicest group of people I've ever been around. We're judges, though, and never say a word. The light in us judges. Tears folks up, don't it? Our Lord said, you're my witnesses. That bears a responsibility, don't it? You're my witnesses. And therefore, as witnesses, we believe, therefore, we got to speak. We can't sit on our hands and say nothing. Therefore, we got to speak. We got to speak. Well, we speak. We speak grace. We speak all of grace. All of grace. I heard a fella preaching, and he... No grace there. Maybe mentioned Spurgeon two or three times, though. Spurgeon's morning and evening. So I came home and I pulled Spurgeon's morning and evening up on my phone. And not a lot of grace in Spurgeon. And I love Spurgeon. I use him strongly when get these messages through the gospel. Not a lot of grace in morning and day. That's not going to offend anybody. You could give that book to almost anybody. We tell the truth. We tell all about grace when we have the opportunity to. We talk about Christ. We talk about all of Him. Every bit of Him. We talk about the gospel. We don't water it down and apologize for it. It hair lifts the Pope. We're not going to back off. We preach to empty pews. We're not going to back off. It's the gospel. It's His gospel. We're His witnesses. You let Him worry about what happens. All Christ in all things. All right, here's the first point. Negatives prevented. If you're His light, there's negatives that are prevented. If you're the light of Christ, if you're reflectors of the light, that's the title of this message, Light Reflectors. You're light reflectors of Him. It prevents selfishness, isolation, misanthropy, and fatalism. All those things can be prevalent in grace churches. Here's what we do. We preach, or we witness to our friends, talk to our friends, that salvation is a personal matter, isn't it? And it is. It is. It always will be. In other words, I can't believe for Kim. We can't do that. Mom and Dad can't believe for me. We can't believe for our kids. Salvation's personal. It's between you and God. You must repent. You must believe. You. Each individual one, you have offended God. What Nathan told David, you are the man. And everybody has to come to the point, I am the man. I've offended God. I am the woman. I've offended God. You got to own your own sins. But here's also a fact. Your salvation immediately, at once, operates on others. Now, if it's only a husband converting in a lost wife, the minute he walks in the door, she's going to know. What in the world happened to you at church today? What happened to you down there at the building? What happened to you at the barn? Something happened to you. Right? It immediately shows. Light shows. It operates on others. Others are immediately affected when you come to Christ. When the light comes on. Maybe few or it may be many, but somebody's affected. The new light shines on others, even though they in turn have got to own their own personal conversion. Right? You understand it? But it acts on them. The nature of light, take a flashlight, it's not only personal, and men have experienced, we've all experienced, somebody turns on a light in a room, and if you need to do something, you immediately, let me see what time it is, well, he's got that light on. Light affects everything around it. It's not its own personal thing. See what I'm saying? That's the example I'm trying to make. All those around the light will benefit from the light to some degree. Now, as a believer, you get up and go to work in the morning. It may be anything from, hey, that's an honest and trustworthy employee, but you want it to be more than that. Some believers are satisfied with just that, and that's a good thing. But you want it to go farther than that, don't you? What you want your light to be, what you want it to affect, is it to affect grace and truth in somebody else. See what I'm saying? Sometimes I think we're satisfied just to be a good, trustworthy employee, and then but we never want anybody to really ask us about the grace and truth that they see in us. That's where you want it to go. That's the hope of this world, is for somebody to start asking you, hold on, there's something different. You haven't said much, but there's something different about what you believe and what I believe. The grace you talk about is not the same grace I talk about. That's where you want it to go. That's the greater effect, isn't it? So as you grow, and you always want to grow. That's why you never quit learning. You never want to stop saying, I've learned enough. So as you grow in grace and wisdom and knowledge, the light naturally just starts shining brighter. And hopefully that grace and truth in you will encourage somebody to see that. Not just to being trustworthy and honorable. There's a lot of trustworthy, honorable unbelievers. So our light's got to go farther. So in realizing that you're light reflectors, you can't selfishly hide your light. I don't think the Lord's going to let you. Grace can't be hid. Hey, light brought you to light, didn't it? Is there anybody here that somebody else's light didn't bring you to light? Light brought you to light. Then light negates misanthropy. This can happen. A contempt of mankind. As believers, we're nonconformist according to what the Scripture tells us to be. Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. Scripture says, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Scripture says this, love not the world or the things of it. The love of the world is in you. If you love the world, it's there. The love of the Father is not in you. So we're, by Scripture definition, we are nonconformist. But we're not separatist. Is that the word? Separatist? In a sense of we just look down on everybody. There's a lot of folks, good people, who look down on everything around them that don't tick like they tick. You can't be that way. You can't. it's worse to me than self-righteous. We know self-righteous folks. Saw one the other day. I pulled up at the service gas station. I had my shorts on, my boots, my sleeveless t-shirt, and my hat backwards and dirty. And she had on her denim skirt down to her ankles. And I almost see it when she bent over and got her baby out. Ah, I saw your ankles. But I didn't. But she looked at me like I thought, you self-righteous old thing, you. But it can go farther than that. Can it? It can go farther than that. We're as grace believers, we just don't care. If you're not grace, I don't care a thing in the world for you. But you're light. Our Lord says you're light. So you got to get involved. We're not better than they are. We didn't know anything either till the Lord taught us. That's what Esther said. I hated election too till the Lord showed it to me. But we did too. I did too. I hated this whole thing till the Lord changed that. You know, there's a group out there of good people. They say they know the truth. But they look at this whole thing like it's a ship. And they think a few's going to be rescued, just a few, but the ship itself is gone. That's the way they look at it. There's going to be a handful of folks in heaven, just a handful. Maybe you'll make it. I know where I'm going. Maybe you will. That's their attitude. But the ship's gone. I don't want to be that way. Here's what I want to believe is my hope is that all of my friends, all of my family, all of my workmates will come to see the light that I know. I want this to be my motto. The kingdoms of this world will yet become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. That's the way I want to get about every day. Every day. Why? Because our Lord sat on this mountain and said, you are the light of the world. Until I take your life from you and the light goes out in you, you will remain the light of the world. And so you ought to get up every morning thinking that. You're the light of the world. This sinful, poor world, how in the world are they going to see light except by our light? How are they going to do it? It's sick. They need medicine. How are they going to meet the physician until we introduce them to the physician? It's a dying world, isn't it, Steve? They're dying all around us. And only through us will God say, live. That's what he said to Ezekiel. That's what he took him out. He said, look. He said, can these bones live? Only you know, Lord. But what did he tell him to do? He said, you preach, you teach, you witness my light. I'll make them live, but I'm going to use you to do it. Light graciously given should prevent this hatred of mankind. Then fatalism should be prevented. We firmly hold that God will save his elect. We don't back up on that, do we? God will save his elect. Christ will not lose one single person that the Father has given him. Not one single one. Not going to be like Afghanistan where they leave anywhere from 100 to 1,000. They really don't know. The Lord's not going to lose one single one of them. We believe all God sovereignly decrees, all of his purposes will come to pass. But we don't lay down in a state of fatalism waiting on it to get there. There's another group who says, well, the gospel circled the globe. It's all going all the way around the globe. It's made its path. It's done what it's going to do. I got 10 folks. I'm going to pull them into the woods somewhere in Fairplay, Georgia. And well, I'm just going to preach to them. That ain't right. That's not right. Nowhere in the scripture does it tell us to do that. It's fatalism. care a thing in the world about salvation toward others. They've quit. Fatalized on the gospel, but they say they believe election. That don't hold up, does it? That doesn't hold up to me. I don't understand how you can fatalize on the gospel and yet hold election and say, well, when the last elect is brought in, it's over. They don't go together. His purpose, our Lord's purpose of grace, is going to come through the church. Talks about his candlesticks. It's going to come through the church. So with election in mind then, we're determined, we should be determined to remain active and vigilant and hopeful and caring, because we are predestined by an eternal sovereign God who elects to be his lighthouses. And that's the way we view it. What can I do? What, as a light reflector of you, what can I do to bring those around me in my circle to you? And here's the second point. Positives encouraged. As objects of light, we look at the world, at our family, at our friends, all those that are in great darkness, and we quickly remember the darkness we were in, don't we? It's easy to remember it, and we should be, and that's a positive. I never want to forget from where I came. Do y'all? I don't want to forget. You'd like to forget things, but you don't want to forget, hey, I was, but by grace, there was I. So as you see the darkness all around us, remember, there was I. As we actively desire the salvation of others, as we desire to be light, it'll do this too. It'll strengthen our grip on the doctrines of grace. How's that, Britt? Well, we know we believe in depravity because not only do we see it in ourselves, we see it all around us day in and day out, don't we? Every day we see it. And it's real. Sure, men are depraved. My goodness, they're depraved. Awful. We more firmly hold the work of the Spirit in salvation because we see there's not a thing in the world we can do. We cannot, the best we try, we can't open a man's heart or a woman's heart. It's like, how can I make it any simpler? We believe it firms our grip on sovereignty, election, and elective choice. Because those we thought would believe never believe, and the ones we gave up on believe. So as we learn more of the light, our grip, and that's a positive, isn't it? Our grip strengthens on what we hold concerning doctrines of grace. But the greatest positive, I think, that's encouraged is being the light reflectors, is we hold that gospel even tighter, don't we? As every day goes by, we hold that gospel even tighter. All of the gospel. Don't let it go. That's what happened. Don't lose your power. That salt and the savor, don't lose your power. Don't lose your usefulness. Hold on to it. Don't back up on what you believe. Now, you can be as sweet with it as you can be. If you can, that's fine. But don't back up. Don't give in to what you believe. Don't trade it off. Compromise it. Hold what you believe. Don't deny it. Don't sell it short. We don't make an idol out of Calvin like the Presbyterians do and set up weeks on end to study Calvin. We don't do that. But we don't deny it either, do we? It's what we believe. Calvin just wrote what was in the Scripture. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under, verse 14, you are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's what he's saying. If you got true light, you can't hide that. Who gave you the light? God revealed it to you. He didn't tell you to take what he had given you and hide it. You just stick it up on a hill, broadcast it to everybody. Tell them the truth. Maybe the only truth they ever hear. Tell them the truth. If He's given you the ability, the knowledge to learn it. Declare it to folks. Tell it to people. It's not just for you. Our Lord lit the candle of the gospel, and he gave it to these little candlesticks. These candlesticks, these churches set everywhere. We're to share it. Share it to this world. Light the world if we can. That's why you say, don't put it under a bushel. Open it up where it's to everybody in the house. Verse 60, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let the light of the gospel, what you've learned, the mysteries of the gospel from our Lord, he taught them to you. That's a positive. But let it be so evident that it just shines to everybody else. That they see your good works. That's not your good. That's not the way you dress and talk and all that mess. That's not what he's talking about. It's your zeal. It's your fervency. It's your openness. It's your simplicity. It's your courage, your faithfulness, your diligence. Those things are the works he's talking about. All grace is given to you. And they're graces that maintain the truth of the gospel. Let your neighbors see that stuff. And here it is, that they may glorify not you, but your Father. It's in heaven. Look over, let's close with this. Look over at Philippians 2:15. Paul writes, he says this. He says that you may be blameless. That you may be blameless and harmless. That's not blameless in God's sight by doing stuff. We're blameless. We're blameless before God, but we're blameless in Christ, aren't we? We're blameless. We're clothed in his righteousness. We're washed in his blood. We're blameless in God's sight through him. Not in these doings. And it's not even blameless in men's sight necessarily. We're going to stumble. We're going to stumble, and you can bet men are going to see it. And they're going to remind you of it. It's all Brit. It's all Brit. It's all Kim. She stumbled. What is this blameless then? What is it? What is this blameless? Blameless. It's blameless and harmless is the general tenor of your life. It's faithful. It's committed. It's without hypocrisy. That's the big thing. It's without hypocrisy. That's what he says there. It's sons of God. Not to be sons of God. Read on with me. The sons of God. That's not that. That's as sons of God, act like sons of God. You're not doing things to become sons of God. As sons of God, act like sons of God. That's what he's saying. Without rebuke. Man, that you know what rebukes? Rebuke is always a positive negative. If you rebuke me, what is rebuke? A rebuke is a criticism or a disapproval of someone because of their actions. So when someone rebukes you, they're right. We don't want to be rebuked by this world, do we? Huh? We don't want to be rebuked by this world. Don't want that to happen. That's what Paul says, without rebuke. Don't give me anything to talk about. Anything that's true to say about you. Act like sons of God. Act like who you are. And you do it in this crooked and dark, this chaotic, this world is as chaotic as it was in the real creation. Remember it said the dark without form, and it chaos was what is chaos. Was upon the face of the deep. Remember that? Genesis? And then what happened? Light came. Light came. All the chaos coming. That's what Paul's saying here. In this chaotic world you're living, in this world of sin and darkness and evil and unbelief and ignorance, religious ignorance and religious superstition, he said, let your light shine, his sons. Be reflectors of God. Be reflectors of Christ. Remember that you came out of that darkness. You were that salt that was brought out of that earth and separated. But don't forget where you came from. Light appeared. Marvelous light shone to you. Don't forget that you one day sat in darkness and the light came. Marvelous light. Share it with others. As we receive our light from the Son of Light, we reflect Him. His doctrines, His grace. We hold it up for men to see. That's what He says there in verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. That's what we do. And our number one goal, go back to the top of verse 15 there in Philippians. What we want to so reflect, Jason, Rod, and Chris, as we go to work, what we want to so reflect is to be able to tell men how they can be blameless in the sight of God. That's their only hope. An opportunity to tell them how they can be blameless in the sight of God. Okay.
Thank you, Rick.